This morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 124. Hear the word of God. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us his prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snares of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is the word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, as we come before your word this morning, we ask that you would illuminate your scriptures for us, that you would speak clearly to us, and that you would open up our minds, our hearts, our ears, our eyes, Lord, so we might see and hear and understand and embrace all that you would share with us this morning. So, Lord, take the words of my mouth, make them your word, and speak to each and every one of us right now, Lord, so that we can be challenged, shaped, and formed by your scriptures and by your Holy Spirit through the scriptures. We thank you. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we've been going through this summer sermon series of summer road tunes, each week that we've been going through these psalms, I've been trying to pair the psalms with a pop song or two that might remind me of what the theme of this psalm is. And looking at it and just trying to make connections there. And I have to confess that this week with Psalm 124, I actually found myself struggling a little bit with that exercise. Because as I read this psalm, the only types of songs that were coming to mind for me were triumphal victory songs. At first, it seemed like We Are the Champions might be the best song from the classic Queen song. By the way, I wish we could do that as a response song today, but I don't think that's going to happen. I also don't know if it's appropriate because I'm not sure that that's actually what this psalm is getting at here. But as I kept thinking maybe it's something like sports songs where you go to a sporting crowd and you're chanting for your team. But then I realized that trivializes this psalm because it's not talking about a game. It's not talking about a contest. There was an attack that took place that the people of Israel were delivered from. As I kept thinking about it, wondering why are these the only songs that are coming to mind, I realized I was getting caught up on that phrase, on our side. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side there. For whatever reason, that phrase was standing out to me, sticking out to me. And when I talked with different people about this psalm, that seemed to be the phrase that would stick out to them as well. And that's, I think, where the tension was. Now, I want to say, I don't think the problem is with the psalm itself, but I think that phrase, on our side, it can create some problems in a number of different ways. On our side, God being on our side, that can create problems. There's minor ways. I think now of people who spend their time praying that God would do things like help them find a parking space. It's great that God can help us in the little things, but at a certain point, you have to wonder, is God really on your side and not on the side of everybody else who's trying to find a parking space there? Just makes me wonder, is that really what God is here to do, to help us with little tasks throughout our day? Is that the function? Is that what this psalm is celebrating? I don't really think so. So that's one of the more minor ones that is a little bit more just kind of annoying to me. But this phrase, on our side and believing God is on our side, it can make bigger problems for us also. I think now to political discourse. When somebody starts believing that their political views are God's political views and that God is on their political side, it shuts down any sort of dialogue. You can't argue with that. You can't point out ways in which they might be wrong or their view might be harming people. If it truly is God's view and if God is on their side, there's no debate there. And when we lose our ability to debate, we lose our ability to live life together well. So claiming that God is on our side, it creates that problem. But there's even greater problems than that also. If you go back and look through history, some of the greatest atrocities were committed by people who claimed that God was on their side. Human beings have done some of the most horrible things saying that God was on their side. Many of us might not like to acknowledge the fact that in Nazi Germany, there were thousands and thousands of pastors, Protestant pastors, who gave the Nazis some credibility because they believed that God was on the side of their nation. And it led to them thinking that their nation could do no wrong. If you go back even a little further, World War I, it's not just Germany then. Every single nation seemed to think that God was on their side, and all of their churches seemed to agree. And you had pastors preaching about how the war was noble and people should go fight in the war, and this was God's work because God was on their nation's side. I think for us as Americans, we have to go back a little further to see the most clear example of this problem in our own nation. If you go back and look at the years building up to the Civil War in the United States, you see a lot of rhetoric from pastors and Christians claiming that God is on their side, both in the North and the South. You see pastors using the Bible to justify slavery, and not just justify slavery, but justify going to war against cousins and former friends and their fellow countrymen so that slavery can continue. Both the North and the South claimed that God was on their side, and many Christians believed both of those sides. I think this problem was captured best by President Lincoln. During the Civil War, at his second inaugural address, President Lincoln, he specifically and explicitly addressed this issue of people claiming that God is on their side and the problems with it. He was given his second inaugural address. He had just been reelected. He was beginning his second term. As we know, tragically, he was not able to fulfill that second term. His life was taken. But before his life was taken, President Lincoln gave this speech, and in the speech, referring to the North and the South, he said, "Both sides read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes God's aid against the other." He goes on to say, "The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes." The prayers of both could not be answered. The prayers of neither has been answered fully, and the Almighty has his own purposes. That is a great summary of the problem when we start claiming God for our side. Start using that language of God being on our side. The very language itself creates problems for us. Because if you are saying that that God is on your side, automatically you are saying that there is your side and there is the other side. Those are the two options there. The language refers back to militaries when they would line up against each other. And what would harm one would benefit the other, and what would benefit one would harm the other. That language right away creates that scenario and that problem. And I think it is a real problem because these metaphors, the way we use language, it starts to frame the way we approach problems and the way we see things and approach the world. So as I looked at the psalm in Psalm 124, I realized that language of on our side, it was blocking at least me from being able to really celebrate what is going on in this psalm. Because I said, the problem isn't with the psalm itself. In the psalm, they're simply celebrating what God has done in delivering Israel. An attack was supposed to have happened. We don't know if it actually ever did happen. We just know that they escaped from it. We don't know how they escaped. We don't know if the attackers were even harmed. We just know that Israel has survived this, and it's the survival of Israel that is being celebrated here. That's what Psalm 124 is about. So as I looked at it closely, I just kept wishing, could we just not have the on our side language here? Is there a way we could get rid of that? So I then decided I wanted to actually look at, is there a way we could get rid of that? And I went and I looked at the Hebrew text. Hebrew was the language that this psalm was originally written in. And I looked at the phrase "on our side," and when I looked in the Hebrew text, I realized that's not actually the phrase that is used in the Hebrew. That's not necessarily the way you would translate the individual phrase that's used there. In the Hebrew, the actual phrase is more simple. It's just a preposition followed by us. It's a preposition that means to or for or toward us. Really, what the psalmist is saying is God is for us. God is for us. It's more of a positive affirmation rather than language that is setting up something that has to result in the harm of another side. The psalm is celebrating that God is for the people of Israel, for their survival, for life to continue. That's really what is being celebrated here. And when we embrace that and we realize that, I really think some more possibilities open up for us. If we let go of the our side versus their side language, we realize that this psalm is saying God is for us. We realize that God can also be for us and for those who we disagree with. God can be for us and for our enemies in a sense as well. God can be for us and for our opponents. Now, it doesn't mean that anyone can just do whatever they want. God does oppose evil and unjust actions. But when we embrace that, I think we realize God can oppose our actions while still wishing the best for us. And God can do the same for our enemies, for our opponents, for those we disagree with. That shift in language, I think it's actually very important because it pushes us to realize that ultimately God isn't for us just to win. It's not about our side prevailing or about victory. God is pushing for redemption of this whole world, which includes those people we disagree with. It includes those people that we would view as enemies. God wants the restoration of this whole world. And ultimately, God is for resurrection. God is for us because God wants redemption, restoration, and resurrection for us. That's what Jesus came here to teach us and to show us. So I got all excited about this possible translation and then wondered maybe I'm just out on a limb here. And I started looking at different translations, the ways different committees and translators have translated Psalm 124. And I will confess that the majority do say God was on our side. That's how the majority do translate it. But the Common English Bible I found, a translation that was put together by a number of scholars, they actually translated this as God is for us. They saw the same problem with that language. They saw that that's not exactly what the text says. And they translated it as God is for us. So I felt a little bit of vindication there. But the truth is, God is for us. God is also for our enemies. God is also for our opponents. God is for this world. God supports it. God encourages it. It's not about two sides and one of them prevailing. It's about the entire world being redeemed. And that's what God is fighting for here, is for life to continue. And that's what Psalm 124 is celebrating. When we let go of our sides language, we can focus on the fact that God is celebrating that life was, the psalm is celebrating that life was continued through the action of God here. I think that's what the psalm is trying to lift up so that we get to that last verse of God is our help. God is our encouragement. And thinking about this, reflecting on this, I think this is going to be really, really important for us to remember in the next few months. Our lives have been dominated by this pandemic. We've also been wrestling with questions of racial injustice and the reality of racial injustice in our country. And we might have forgotten that we're actually in the middle of a presidential campaign that's going to start heating up in these next few months. And there is nothing like a presidential campaign that can make us isolate ourselves to different sides. Campaigns are designed to make us choose one side or the other. They're designed to divide. And the church is going to be politicized, and that's nothing new. The church has been politicized since the beginning of this nation. Churches get politicized all the time. But it's something that we as a Church of Jesus Christ need to be aware of, need to remember that we should be for the things that God is for. That God doesn't just want our side to win, but God wants redemption, restoration, and resurrection for this world, and God wants us to partake in that and to be a part of that, and that God is for justice in the world. But that doesn't mean God is for our side. That's going to be an incredibly important reminder as we move through this campaign, this election, and these next few months. The truth that God is for us doesn't mean that God just wants us to win. So, trying to pair this psalm with a pop song, I don't think "We Are the Champions" is appropriate. I don't think that's really what the psalm is trying to celebrate. And I tried to think of a better song, and all I could come up with was "Wind Beneath My Wings," which felt a little cheesy. Which, can we do that for the response song? Is that possible? Nah, they're shaking their heads no. Which I think we might be grateful for. It's kind of a cheesy song, no offense. But "Beaches," Bette Midler. But whatever song would be paired with this, you might know of one better, and share it in the YouTube comments if you can think of one. But it's a song that focuses on support and encouragement and carrying us through difficult times. That's what this psalm is celebrating. It's not our side versus them. It's the fact that God wants to carry us through trials and tribulations to the point where we can be resurrected and spend our lives in the kingdom of God. That's ultimately what Psalm 124 is pushing us toward. That's what we should be celebrating, and may we do so alongside this psalm. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.